gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm here. Everybody, nobody help me. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number, toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there, executive producer, Crystal Boy Voice, Deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Okay, so, as I was saying to Jackie at the top of the hour, sometimes, pathetic as my life is, dreams do come true. Is it wrong how excited that made me? You just, I opened the door, and I could see the gleam in your eye, and I was like, what?
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 Do you have a present for me?
Do you have a dressage pony for me that farts glitter?
Sort of.
Kind of.
Is there a poll showing the president ahead even farther than yesterday's?
No.
No.
Guess who's coming in studio to be with us Tuesday? No. Orly Tate.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
I haven't even started, but let me finish. She's going to be here for the very final segment of the show, so listen in hour three on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Yep. Yeah, I think we'll be getting some pub for that. Okay.
But don't piss her off. She'll kick you in the head.
Yeah, but you said she seemed excited. We maybe could have had her for longer.
Yeah.
Well, we thought maybe that'd be enough.
That'd be enough. Yeah.
Plus, she may decide to leave. You never know. We'll see. I'm going to be very nice. I'm coming up with that. Listen, and the listeners, we're all helpers.
Yep.
I need help from my journalistic goddess, Jackie Schechter.
Sure.
There's got to be some question that will result in an answer, Moose and Squirrel.
Oh.
There's got to be. We'll put some music together for birth or dating game and see who she'd want to kiss. Sheriff Arpaio or Donald Trump.
Or that Ken Bennett guy from Arizona.
Oh, we're going to see if she can fix that guy's teeth. Representative Fahrenthold that has no teeth because she's a dentist.
Yes, allegedly.
She's a lawyer, dentist, realtor.
Lawyer, dentist,
yeah.
Maybe we can realtor.
See if we could sell a house. We'll help her. We will help her, too. She wanted an opportunity to present her evidence.
Yep.
Isn't she also,
what?
Just now I'm just spitballing here. Isn't she also mad at another group of birthers, remember, that came out with the film?
Yes.
Because that film is an entirely different conspiracy theory about the president that blows her whole theory that he was born in Kenya.
Yeah, so she's really upset.
She's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Birthers, well, don't fight. They're all
like
pretty.
17 different conspiracy theories about Obama's act. You know, some people say he's Malcolm X's illegitimate son.
But Chris, we'll find out who it is. I can't remember who did the film, but then she was very upset. She went on record going, don't let him finish!
Yeah.
Don't let him finish! You are ruining! She literally said, you're ruining everything. Now we can have nice brother things!
He cannot both be from Kenya and from Antarctica.
That's
not possible.
Now you ruined it. Now it's all bad and wrong. All right. So while we await Carl Frisch in Right Wing World, he's been on the road dealing with Justin Bieber.
On the road again?
Scantily dressed tween fans.
Yeah.
So he's
outside
exhausted.
Of his hotel in New York. Yeah.
So he may be spooning with Dexter Von Frisch right now. We're trying to find him. But in the meantime, Rocky Mountain Mike has given us a tribute to our friends in Right Wing World and their fans.
Are you going to talk some crap tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to sing it from the right.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to lie your ass right off that ditto head. You make the right-wing world go round.
That's it. Yay! Rocky Mountain. And it's boy music for Jim. Hooray.
Do you know what that is? The song that is?
The Fat Bottom Girls.
Yeah, very good.
Thanks. Okay. Listen, I wasn't a rock jock for nothing. All right. Oh, also on the big show, Representative Peter Welsh coming up from the great state of Vermont. Great and yet teeny.
Teeny. Yes, he's the only representative from Vermont. There are more senators from Vermont than there are.
Yes.
Wow.
Representatives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. And Chaz Bono.
Yeah.
No, actually, there's somebody that's a representative of a smaller area. We were talking about Obama naysayers, and Charlie Pierce calls, what's his name, Harold Ford, Senator of the Green Room.
Yeah.
Just people that get paid to go on television and naysay the president. All right, so Carl's not here. Can we talk, you know what, just for balance this hour with Right Wing World, we have to talk about our left-wing dirtbags. Have you guys, have you seen Riel Hunter anywhere? She has this new book out.
Yeah. She's all over, ABC News. Yeah.
This just, When you think it couldn't get any more unseemly and awful, it just does. Can I just say perhaps they deserve each other? I mean, it really...
Yeah.
Okay, so and who knows who to believe in this whole thing, right?
Right.
There's just so many levels of dirtbaggery. Rielle Hunter was John Edwards' last mistress, but not his first or only one, she claims, in a tell-all memoir.
They really
did
do this
with each
other.
She's doing 2021 tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, they've been running little clips of it on ABC News.
She claims he had affairs with at least two other women dating back 20 years, didn't reveal the truth about his former relationships to her. Well, how could she have seen that coming, that he might lie about anything?
Yeah.
When Edwards first met Hunter in 2006, he lied to her about having more mistresses, not fewer, and only revealed the truth about his relationships later when he was set to be tried. In the book, by the way, Hunter is vague about the current status of her relationship with Edwards, but suggests that they remain romantically involved. Okay, well, all right. So this is the big reveal tomorrow night, is whether they're still involved or not. Does anybody care?
Don't care.
Stuff she does a lot of Elizabeth Edwards bashing, and you know what?
Yeah.
She
said something effective.
Look, there's good and bad in everybody, but the woman can't defend herself.
Right.
Here she is. She endured this big, you know, public humiliation. She lost her first son. You know, her son died in a car crash. You know, she gets cancer. She gets publicly humiliated. And now, it's just... So it's both a full-throated defense of Edward's innocence, by the way, and at times a screed against his wife Elizabeth, who Hunter routinely describes as crazy, and blames her for driving Edwards into the arms of other women. Oh my God! Seriously, I'm gonna vomit.
God.
Yeah, it's her. It's all Elizabeth Edwards' fault. Clearly, that he's such a scumbag. Okay, Hunter, they met at the New York Regency Hotel. She approached the former senator with a, come on, you're so hot, and moments later he called to invite her up to his room. Oh, he's plays hard to get, doesn't he?
God.
I mean, again, where do you both, she knows he's married, and it's just, the whole thing is just ick. Throughout the first weeks of their relationship, she detailed trips to meet and... I know what this is. So he had some whole deliberate ruse with her lying about that he had these other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
All three women Edwards later confessed were completely fabricated, made up, so Hunter and other former mistresses to whom he told the same story wouldn't become too attached. So he made up all these elaborate stories as that relationship went on, as though he broke up with this one in Chicago and this one in... Oh, my God, this guy, talk about a chronic liar. Edwards, she said, confessed to having additional affairs, but led her to believe that she was his last conquest. Oh, that's romantic. That's a magic moment there. Hunter depicts Elizabeth I love this part. Listen up, Jim. Hunter depicts Elizabeth Edwards as a woman routinely angry at Edwards. Well, that crazy.
Well,
what?
That was maybe before all this stuff.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, this seems like a pattern of behavior of his. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. She's a witch on wheels, blah, blah, blah. I love this part. Did you know this? Following their first encounter, Edwards hired Hunter, then working as a life coach.
That's our favorite job.
I mean,
life coach.
Oh God, as a videographer,
really?
For which he also, I guess, wasn't really qualified.
She's a life coach and a videographer.
I'm a life coach. You're hot. Oh my, that would make me vomit. That would not
just
be a term.
Yeah, no.
What is she also a dentist and a realtor and a lawyer?
Oh boy.
No, she's a naked life coach.
So Elizabeth uncovered the truth by answering what she called Edward's other woman phone, a secondary cell phone.
Phone.
She picks up the phone, and Hunter says, "Hey, baby," assuming it was Edwards. Elizabeth simply hung up. Yeah. This whole thing, she has little sympathy for Elizabeth's behavior, blah, blah. She said, she writes that Edwards' wife of three decades, with whom she suffered the death of their eldest son, Wade, was bonkers because she'd been in denial about his cheating. I mean... This is like the blame the woman thing that she describes her as crazy, venomous, given to fits of rage. Well, wouldn't you be if
you're
married to John Edwards? For months after Frances Quinn was born, Edwards denied he was her father, even claiming publicly he was willing to take a paternity test, but refusing at every single turn to sign any sort of legal document to the same. And then in August, interview with ABC News, remember that? He confessed to the affair but still denied that Quinn was his daughter. I mean, this just made me sick reading the whole thing. And, of course, she's going to get tons of, publicity for her book
and
tomorrow
money.
On ABC. And yeah, exactly.
Oh.
All right. See?
Life coach. That just put it over the top.
I'm a life coach.
Oh, God, I hate life coaches. Oh, my God.
It's you and I. It's our particular bugaboo.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, boy. All right. So lots to get to on the big show. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're going to talk about this. Speaking of this Fast and Furious, yeah. It is just such an unbelievable political. It's just such an unbelievable political game. It really is.
Yeah. In fact, Representative Elijah Cummings asked Daryl Issa to call Mukasey before the committee, and Issa refused.
Yeah, and he's holding him against
says right there right. That is completely political.
Right,
yeah,
for documents that he can't legally produce.
Right.
And they know that.
Right.
The whole thing is just, it's incredible. And then every time the president does something, it's, oh, my God, it's the first time ever in the history of executive privilege. No president has ever done what? And then Boehner's spokesman says, oh, well, that means the White House is involved. No, it doesn't. And he knows exactly we'll get to all that.
Yeah.
That there's two types of executive privilege, mm-hmm. and that's not, and he knows that that's not what that means.
Right.
Oh, anyway, all right, we'll get to all of that and continue to. I'm going to start drunk dialing Carl Frisch in a moment.
Well, during the segment, I texted him, I sent him a message over Facebook. We're trying all different ways to get a hold of him.
He's sleepy. That's all right.
No,
all right.
We'll see.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. I suppose I'll have to, in the interest of honesty, I'll have to discuss the great Pashmina incident of 2012 with Chaz Bono later.
Yeah.
I'm sure her mom is still talking about
it. Did you hear that Cher was on the Hoa's show
yesterday? I heard. I didn't get to hear it.
Yeah. Cher does not get up this early.
No.
I don't think there's any way we could book Cher to be on this show.
No.
No.
Yeah.
She's still tweeting from the night before when I get up in the morning.
So, the girl with the wrinkled Pashmina?
Yeah.
No. Oh, that was awful.
But it was a great interview.
Yeah. Oh, I bet it was. I got to go. I got to go back and hear it. Anyway, so Chaz will be on. He has a great epilogue, and the paperback edition of his book is just out. It talks about Dancing with the Stars and all that there. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dave in New York. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good, we love you. Well, this morning, Michelle Bachmann was on Washington Journal, spewing her normal venom all across the airwaves, and a caller had asked her, Michelle, do you think gays and lesbians could change their lifestyle, or is it something that is, that they have, that's a part of them?
I would have said, how's it going for your husband? I would just toss that in, see if she...
I would love to hear, and thank God that she was not, she's got out of the president's race, but I would love to hear you and the team there describe if somehow Michelle Bachmann was elected president, what would our country look like? And I'll take that off the air.
Oh, she'll take that off the air. If Michelle, wow. Well, first of all, the White House would be fabulously decorated.
Yeah, tastefully appointed.
Tastefully, but uplighting, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yes, and meticulously clean.
Carpet would match the drapes.
What?
Okay. Kevin in Orange County.
Oh, dear.
Don't think that means what you think it means.
Kevin in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning.
Great.
Go ahead.
Wanted to make a couple points about the Fast and Furious issue that you're talking about.
Yes.
These are task force issues and sting operations that are happening all the time. The first point I wanted to make is that's why I don't understand why people think that the killing of Osama bin Laden was an easy thing to do, because sometimes these things go wrong.
Yeah.
And with the Fast and Furious thing.
Yeah, but if it had gone wrong, Kevin, no one would ever have blamed the president, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Exactly. And the other point I want to make is 1,700 guns were lost. That's a huge, that's a tragedy. That's unfortunate. An agent was killed. Huge tragedy.
Yes.
But the 1,700 guns or one person dead, which is a tragedy, doesn't even compare to the 30,000 guns confiscated in Mexico and the 50,000 people that have died over the last 5 years.
Yeah. Because of the drug
war. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And those 30,000 guns are coming from the United States from gun shows along the border where there's no background checks necessary.
Yep.
So why isn't the government getting upset about that kind of situation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, anybody that does not see this as a completely political charade, I don't even know what to say. Setting up a potential, you know, I think the White House, instead of, like, helping create jobs, helping do anything, really? Setting up a potential constitutional confrontation, the House voted to cite Attorney General Eric Holder for contempt of Congress, which now, of course, they're saying, oh, they can put him in jail, they could put him in handcuffs. I mean,
frog march him out of the White House.
That wouldn't be just to embarrass the president or anything, would it?
Not at all.
Just hours after President Obama invoked executive privilege. By the way, fun fact, for the first time, I can go through the number of times that George Bush and Clinton and others used it a lot of times.
Yeah.
First
Bush
time
used it to protect Harriet Myers, I remember.
Yes.
Hmm.
Among other things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Karl Rove.
That's
Dick
right.
Cheney. Yes. So Elijah Cummings, as you were saying, who the Democrat who sits on the committee, called the vote an extreme, virtually unprecedented action based on election year politics rather than fact. End of story.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is the story. Technically, if the full House approves the Holder contempt citation, there could be a federal criminal case against him. History strongly suggests the matter won't get that far. Yeah, well, history's never seen this Republican Congress full of douche nozzles. Seriously, who knows with them in an election year? In the administration's claim of executive privilege, they said in the letter to ICER, we regret we've arrived at this point after the many steps we've taken to address the committee's concerns and accommodate the committee's legitimate oversight interests. Cummings said ICER could have settled the matter with Holder reasonably, but instead has resorted to partisan and inflammatory personal attacks. I mean,
there's a shock. Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. All due respect, Clarence Thomas, that's a high-tech lynching.
Mm-hmm,
what's going
mm-hmm.
on with Eric Holder, Representative ISA?
23 ayes, 17 noes.
The ayes have it, and a contempt report is ordered.
Oh, you drama queen. Seriously. Yay.
And I still want to be governor of California.
He cried. That's the fun fact for those of us out here in California. He cried when he found out, because he was behind getting a...
Blind like a bitch.
Davis.
Gray Davis out.
Yeah. Recalled, yeah, when he found out that Schwarzenegger's going to run.
Cried like a little baby.
Like a baby. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm one of 30 million non-existent American women with sexual dysfunction.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. I know how we got Orly Tate's booked on Tuesday. We offered her one of the magical talking liberally with Stephanie Miller hats.
Yep.
I've got a huge box.
Sorry,
right
what?
There. They sent a huge box of these.
That's right.
Current did.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that exciting? Yeah. You can't. They're not available anywhere.
No.
They're only here.
That's right.
Only if we lure you into our web. Let me finish. All right. Exciting.
Give me all the hats.
I don't want the whole box of hats. Because those will be big at the birther conventions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's not going to be able to fit it over that head of hair.
Yes, she will. No, it's big. It's adjustable. Oh, how great will that be? We'll get a picture of her in the hat, and we'll send it to all the press. Oh, thus posing. Best friends.
Oh, my God.
Get Trump to wear one of them and have his gigantic whatever that thing is on his head hanging over his face.
Tell Trump to cover that mess, that woodland creature on his head with this. Tony in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hi, good morning, guys. I just love you guys.
I love you back.
And Jackie Sheffield, too. You guys are hilarious. I love it.
She is hilarious. And newsy.
Yeah.
All right.
And beautiful, too.
All right. You know what? I think we've already done our perving out on Jackie Schechner segment for today,
but go ahead. I know. You know, what I was calling about, Stephanie, was that yesterday, just basically, I have reached this mindset that I don't really, I'm actually fearing how far the Republican Party will go to hurt this president. I mean, they just keep moving the line. I mean, I don't understand what's going on. I mean, I've been actually following current events since 1992, maybe, and I have never seen it this bad.
Yeah.
And,
Tony, I have to say, I agree with you, and if we didn't have such recent history to back up the hypocrisy of this, I happen to be lucky enough to be friends with Joe and Valerie Wilson and had dinner at their house and, you know, out near Santa Fe. And, Tony, to watch them... I mean, do you understand they outed a covert CIA agent during wartime? And they were, they claimed that, you know, that had to be, I mean, it just, it's stunning. This is, and someone was saying, too, like, this is such a low-level thing that, it's like, yes, it was a botched thing that started under George Bush.
That's right.
And you never interviewed the guy that it started under Mukasey. I mean, it really is just incredible. So, oh, by the way, here were the fun facts I was looking for. George W. Bush asserted executive privilege 6 times.
Yep.
And to protect people that, in my opinion, were committing treason, you know, in the outing of a CIA agent. Okay. That I mentioned. In fact, we might want to give Val or Joe a jingle. How about that?
Let's do it.
George W. Bush asserted executive privilege 6 times during his 8 years in office. President Clinton did so 14 times. As Representative Elijah Cummings said, explained to ISA, he was talking about Holder. He said, you accused him of a cover-up for protecting documents he was prohibited by law from producing. What? And here's drama queen Daryl Issa yesterday.
More than 8 months after a subpoena, and clearly after the question of executive privilege could have and should have been asserted, this untimely assertion by the Justice Department falls short of any reason to delay today's proceedings.
No, since it's purely political anyway, there would be no reason. Why slow that down? But you might be able to reach some sort of accommodation, as the White House has been trying to do for 8 months. So I see that would be crazy. We don't want to slow down. This is a political show, for God's sakes. Can't stop it now.
It's also nauseating.
On with the show. This is it.
Wow.
Dan Burton. Oh, remember him? He was a Republican guy that was very, very interested in the rule of law, Jim, as it applied to Bill Clinton and the Blofoff.
Why would the president claim executive privilege unless there was something very, very important that he felt should not be made known to this committee?
Oh, sure.
And possibly to the public.
Yes, the White House. This has got to be worse than Watergate, for God's sakes. This is, yes.
No one has ever used executive privilege for any reason.
That's
ever.
Not the black guy did it. okay, would you let...
you know what those people are like with their executive privilege.
Yeah. It's uppity when he uses it.
That's right.
It's uppity privilege. We should rename it uppity privilege. Okay, would you like some fun facts?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, courtesy of our fine friends at Think Progress. Because a lot of this stuff, the layperson doesn't really, understand. Okay, so with the announcement that the Obama administration will exert executive privilege, a lot of people don't know, you know, what that means exactly. A number of critics in Congress have suggested this must mean the president was involved in the scandal.
Computer says no.
This conclusion relies on a fundamental misunderstanding or willful ignorance. I'm going to go with that. On their part about what executive privilege is. As I was talking about Boner spokesman, the White House decision to invoke executive privilege implies White House officials either were involved in the fast and furious operation or the cover-up that follows. The administration has always insisted that wasn't the case. Were they lying, or are they now bending the law to hide the truth?
Or is Vin Diesel the real president?
What?
Fast and furious? Something he was in?
Okay.
No, never mind.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah. There are two types of executive privilege, the robust presidential communications privilege and the more limited deliberative process privilege.
Right.
Presidents Reagan, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush all exerted executive privilege in matters not involving presidential communications.
Yes, but that was different.
Mukasey, Bush's Attorney General, invoked the same deliberative process privilege as recently as 2008, rejecting congressional subpoenas for reports of the Department of Justice interviews with White House staff regarding the Valerie Plame Wilson leak investigation. That's what I was just saying. Isn't that weird? Furthermore, the very man behind the witch hunt against Holder, Chairman Daryl Issa, it has in the past recognized that same privilege for Bush administration deliberations. Then it was all very, very proper. Now it's horrible.
The hypocrisy is just absolutely stunning.
It's unprecedented. The mere invocation of executive privilege can hardly be interpreted as any evidence of involvement by the president himself, something clearly absent in this relatively low-level screw-up. Thank you. Thanks, Congress. It's a pretty privilege. No, you can't.
If they're so concerned about guns going across the border, maybe there should be gun control.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe,
how about that?
Gun
that
shows
would help a lot.
Shouldn't be so easy to.
Yeah. How about that?
Say if you have a criminal record, for example.
Oh, okay. I'm sure, and I'm sure the NRA will be very consistent in your in their support of your idea, Jim. Pam in New Hampshire. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, two things, and I'll make it quick.
Okay.
In 2010, when ISA took over, he was calling Obama a criminal before he ever even got the oversight chairman committeeship.
He just had a spidey sense, Pam.
I realize that, but then...
Takes one to know one.
On another network, they said that the Hill newspaper reported yesterday that the NRA was counting the yes votes.
Ah.
And I don't know why anyone's not bringing that up, but it's like the NRA was counting those votes yesterday, and it's in the front page of the Hill newspaper. And I'm just saying, why can't we investigate Daryl Issa for the fires?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, boy, if we take back control, I've got quite a list of things that we need to get to.
Yes.
There's suspicious fires. Boy, oddly, and this isn't suspicious in any way, but he purchased a lot of fire insurance, and then suddenly, one of his businesses burned to the ground.
Wow, that was lucky.
Went up in flames.
Yes. What are the chances? All right. And as Jim has pointed out before, he made his fortune selling what, Jim?
Car alarms.
Car alarms, based on his experience as...
A car thief.
And it's not an alleged car thief.
No.
He admitted and was, I think he was prosecuted for it.
So. Yes. Yeah. Number of hearings I'd like to hold.
And he's the guy responsible for all those annoying car alarms you hear in the middle of the night.
I may have to run for Congress at some point just for vengeance, just to be able to hold.
Vengeance is mine!
Vengeance is mine, say it, Stephanie Miller. So I can have a hearing where I investigate Daryl Issa. And then also, what's my other dream? I'm going to have a hearing about balls, and I'm not going to invite any men.
That's right.
It's just going to be me and Catherine Heigl.
Catherine Heigl.
Yeah. I'm going to have a men's health hearing.
And some volleyballs in a bag.
And no boys will be allowed in the fort. Exactly.
Two volleyballs in a bag.
I'll have props. Yes. I'll have two volleyballs in a bag. While I do some Gallagher-like skits.
Carrot top prop humor.
Debbie in New Hampshire. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Good.
I have two comments. One was to the question about the NRA. In actuality, before the vote went on, they actually posted the names of the people and said that if they did not vote for this, that they were going to pay. And I believe that they'd also doing the same thing for the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, that's pathetic how in the pocket of the NRA this Republican Party is, you know.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. You know what? Michelle Malkin on Fox News this morning just declared that Obama is at the center of the Fast and Furious
series.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
She has no proof.
She has nothing.
She's a liar.
Nothing.
She is an absolute liar.
You know, she should thank him for protecting anchor babies like her.
Yes. Yep. Notice anchor baby Michelle Malkin.
Yeah, I think you're on Fox News with you opening your big pie hole rather than being deported. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, I am already having a fantastic time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. 12 here from anyway. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Sorry.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm just shoveling food in my mouth. Pardon me. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Warren in Dallas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Warren.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I wanted to call and tell you guys I'm really getting tired of these journalists, supposedly, not pushing back on the Republicans when they say that the Democrats had a supermajority for 2 years and could have passed anything they wanted.
I know.
Actually, only had it for 50 days.
I know. I know, Warren. And, you know, I saw Mitt Romney on TV somewhere going, oh, well, the president hasn't done anything about it. He's done nothing on immigration for 3 years. I seriously wanted to jump through the television. I mean, the president has tried and tried, and you're right. He has, once again, just a wall of obstruction from Republicans on the Dream Act,
no
on anything.
From the journalists.
What's that?
There's no pushback from these journalists.
Right.
I mean, supposedly these journalists are there, you know, to moderate these things and, you know, to let the facts be known, but they just let it wash over.
Yeah.
We'll have to leave it there.
Yeah, exactly, Warren. I mean, I think that during the time period you're talking about, of course, we had, was it Robert Byrd and Ted Kennedy, of course, ailing. They weren't available to vote. I mean, so it just...
Right.
Yeah. To rewrite...
Al Franken didn't come into office until July 7th.
That's right.
And Ted Kennedy died on August 25th.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and that's the thing, is they think that it's so easy to rewrite such current, you know, such recent history, as I was just saying with the Valerie Plame leak. Mm-hmm. I mean, really? You know, just suddenly, they count on everybody just, you know, everyone else is an Etch-a-Sketch, too. Oh, it's all magically erased, everything that just happened.
Yeah.
All right. Senator Chuck Grassley.
Rhymes with ass-ly.
Yes, it does.
So why is the president getting involved? And what does he know?
And when did he know
it? When did he know it about Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have ever asked that question before.
Yeah, just like Watergate. Yeah. See? What did the president know? When did he know it, huh? Okay. Gene in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Sorry, speaker there. I have two suggestions. I would like to see something like what was done when Sandra Fluck was being raked over the coals, and there were only males called to Congress to testify. I'd like to see a separate investigation opened up by someone else,
right,
publicly. And the second thing I really want to see is for Democrats to go on the offensive, to not keep having to be in the position of being on the defense and having to respond to the crazy stuff that the Republicans are coming up with, but to actually begin to pull things out into the open that are not coming out, that show the craziness of the right wing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. That's why this has made me crazy. This whole hearing has just been, I believe, Representative Elijah Cummings shares my
feelings. For the past year, you've been holding the Attorney General to an impossible standard.
And I saw Representative Carolyn Maloney on TV talking about this, but was everyone else as offended as I was by the tone of this hearing and the
Absolutely.
Way they spoke to him?
I must say, Mr. Chairman, I am offended personally by your calling the Attorney General a liar.
Yeah, just a little bit. Representative Jerry Connolly, Democrat of Virginia, echoing that.
Some might be forgiven for describing the proceedings today as akin to a kangaroo court.
Yep.
Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi, good morning. Today I'm Cub reporter Sue.
All right, Thank you.
You know, Darrell Issa lied consistently about his military record, and I'm really surprised among all the other thievery this guy had done. You know, he had a bad conduct rating. He was demoted. He had stolen a fellow soldier's car. I know you're shocked about that.
Yes.
The San Francisco Examiner in May 1998, when he was trying to run against Barbara Boxer, uncovered all of this. He said he was on the Army security team and that he got to see the 1971 World Series because he was protecting Nixon, except Nixon didn't go to the 1971 World Series
Oops.
Game.
Oh, boy.
He claimed that he was served for 9 years, but in actuality, he was discharged after 5 years and 3 months. So why isn't this being, I mean, I live here in Rockville, and I'm someone's grandmother, and I have this information.
Yeah, you're just a meemaw from Rockville.
Exactly. I'm a meemaw with bar babies.
And how is it that you know this information? All right.
Thank you.
All right, honey, thank you. All right, there she goes, Sue in Rockville. The official meemaw of the Stephanie
That's
Miller.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Representative Pat Meehan, Republican of Pennsylvania, responded about the kangaroo court. Mm-hmm.
But as a former prosecutor, I assure you, there's nothing kangaroo about the death of a border agent.
Oh, come on.
And this is a very sad day.
Yeah. This whole witch hunt shows that that the Republicans will always use a tragedy as a club mm-hmm. with which to beat President Obama.
Yeah.
To death.
Yeah, I mean, as if that's the point, that anybody is
right.
glad that a border agent was killed. It's
Nobody's
like you
glad.
Know, yeah, exactly.
President Obama planned to kill those border agents.
Yeah.
He meant for that to happen.
Well,
clearly.
I mean, that's part of, you know, that's the other thing is if you listen early on, Daryl Issa is like a crazy conspiracy theorist. Remember he, mm-hmm. where was that on the Hannity show or somewhere? He sort of floated the theory that the president I think did this on purpose as a plot to take away our, you know, Second Amendment stuff in his second term. Like it's
right.
this crap that they try to put out there on the blogs that you know, when you wait till the second term, yeah. he's going to take
our
guns.
The NRA is pushing this conspiracy
right.
theory that Fast and Furious was a scheme by Holder to promote gun control. The NRA claims that Holder allowed American gun dealers to sell AK-47s and other assault rifles so that they would be used to kill people in Mexican drug war, thereby creating political will for more restrictions on gun ownership in the United States.
Well, I just asked LaPierre's. You during
yeah,
the break.
That, I found it.
Right.
So.
Is what is the NRA's? Like, so they're counting votes and mm-hmm. pressuring Republicans to vote for contempt. And
That's
I'm like,
why, because they're pushing this conspiracy
right.
theory.
Ah. Okay, wait, you got to go over that again. Go, read that one more time.
Well, okay, they're saying Fast and Furious is actually a scheme by Holder to promote gun control. The NRA claims
that... So he wanted to lose the guns and then have the border agent killed so that...
NRA claims that Holder allowed gun dealers to sell AK-47s and other assault rifles so that they would be used to kill people in the drug war, thereby creating the political will for more restrictions on gun ownership.
Awesome. So now we're just letting...
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I wonder if I could, when Orly Tates is in on Tuesday, maybe we could, maybe they'll allow her to have a hearing of some sort. Because now apparently they're run by... conspiracy theorists that are allowed to investigate.
But this is an extension of what Wayne LaPierre said, is that the fact that Obama has not gone after your guns in his first term is proof he's going to do
right.
it in the second
right.
term.
Right. He has you right where he wants you now.
Obama has not signed any law restricting guns.
Hasn't
Whereas
talked about
Romney
it.
Has. When he was governor of Massachusetts, Romney signed
gun control
legislation.
Very pro-gun control, yes. Assault weapon ban, yeah.
But you don't hear that from the Republicans for some reason. Huh.
By the way, speaking of crazy conspiracy theorists, you know Arizona Secretary of State guy?
Yeah, Ken Bennett.
Yeah, his latest theory? Obama lied about being born in Kenya to get into college.
Ah.
You see?
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
Chacuse.
So, right? That's why, we'll give you all the details.
So that's why people know for a fact that he was or wasn't
And he said,
not,
I
not
have
born
a plan
Kenya.
To take everyone's guns
from
when
Kenya.
I'm president.
As someone in the chat room says, the NRA is nothing but a kook farm.
Yeah.
All right.
Heavily
Carl
armed kook
Fresh,
farm.
We found him. He's next in Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show. Next.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like, Sandra did.
Yeah.
She was flipping through the channels. That never ends well.
Oh,
for
Lord.
Me.
Mm-hmm. Or especially if you sit on the remote and it accidentally turns on.
Oh, that guy butt chose me in Alabama. He sat in his remote and there I was.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Sandra says, like I need to feel worse about myself. Do you ever wonder when you wake up in the morning if your life has any meaning? It doesn't. You contribute nothing positive to the world. A life wasted. All right, Tim.
Wow.
Thank you for taking... thanks for taking the time.
If you cut her, does she not bleed?
Right? I bleed red, white, and blue here in Captain America's underpants, Sandra. Oh. A life wasted.
By the way,
that's true, Sandra, but I don't need it pointed out first thing in the morning.
Why can't you be more like Gretchen Carlson?
Right?
Speaking of the Captain America's underpants.
Yes. Oh, we pulled up his underpants.
His underpants.
It was sagging.
Yes. Someone sent me a picture of you as the Grand Marshal of the Los Angeles Gay Pride Parade a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
And the outfit you were wearing kind of matched the underpants. It was very sparkly.
They modeled this off
red,
that.
White, and blue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okie dokie.
Al Gore looked at that and said, hey, you know what?
Well, look who is literally an hour late and a dollar short.
Yeah.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Carl Frisch. Hi, sleepyhead.
When will I ever learn that I should actually just do the show rather than sending emails to Rebecca for you to read on the air.
So that was you.
Carl Frisch, you've been on the road. We will just, fending off, like, what do they call it, the Bieber fever?
Oh, my gosh,
people?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said,
I tell you what. You've never, you know, they always say that there's nothing worse than a woman scorned. What about a bunch of tweens?
Yes, you said Justin Bieber and Entourage staying in my hotel tonight. The number of scantily clad tweens in the lobby is terrifying.
I don't know when they decided that dressing like Pretty Woman was like something to catch his eye, but
it's like, I'm a little baby hooker.
It was bizarre.
Wow.
I'll tell you that much. I likened it to Occupy Bieber. They were there so long.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear on the whole Eric Holder situation. Charles Krauthammer.
It does make the administration look like it's covering up. Remember,
sure.
The documents that it is refusing to reveal, the Justice Department itself says, are not documents about the operation, but about the communications within the department on how to respond to the investigation, which sounds like cover-up.
Sure. It's obvious.
It sounds like what administrations gone by have done.
Yes, exactly.
They don't want to damage the ability of the president and his staff to communicate with each other.
There you go. Gee, I remember that just as recently as, the last administration.
Yeah. Just careful, you're not supposed to say his name.
But
no.
He's Voldemort. W. Say it three times like Beetlejuice.
How many times he's coming out with a book this fall?
Oh, www.
Okay. Yeah. Sean Hannity.
Those are the big questions tonight. What is the administration trying to hide?
Uh-huh.
And are they now admitting that, in fact, the president himself did have knowledge of this scandal when he denied it in the past?
Huh? When did he deny?
What?
Knowing
wow.
The real question is how long exactly is the stick that Sean Hannity's been sitting on for 3.5 years? They smell blood. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But they smell blood, so they've decided to go after this full tilt. There's no there. They should be subpoenaing people from the Bush administration to talk about why they started this program.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. I know. And remember our fantasy, the liberal fantasy of Karl Rove being frog marched on the White House lawn. It's like, somebody was saying, of course, that's so unprecedented. So is everything this Republican Congress has done, Carl. I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised to see them frog march Eric Holder, you know?
No, and, you know, the right-wingers, you'll get the calls from people saying, you know, this is just more Obama, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, these are the same types of people that say that there's nothing unusual about what's happening in Congress. You know, the people that call you and say subpoenas or filibusters are part of the Senate.
Everybody's
just happened.
A filibuster.
Yeah, yeah, everyone's used it exactly the same way.
Uh-huh. When, in fact, Republicans have used it more in the 3 years that this president's been in office than Democrats used it for the entirety of the Bush administration.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, Bill O'Reilly.
Why are we declining? First reason is the economy. The Obama administration is attempting to shift from a market economy to a quasi-socialistic approach, whereby the federal government calls the shots, not private industry. That's what the jobs bill is all about. The government injects money into the economy.
Yes.
Now, that has failed by every measure.
No, really?
And has also eroded consumer confidence both here and abroad.
Wow.
That's
wow.
The only reason we got out of the Great Depression.
Yes, the auto rescue. First of all, like a huge most recent example of how it's worked spectacularly well, Carl, right?
Well, really what that was Bill O'Reilly playing a game with us. He said one true thing and a bunch of false things, and we have to pick the one true thing. And the one true thing is that the Obama administration is trying. They're trying to get the economy working again. But it's the Republicans who won't do anything to help. You know, the economy, the private sector employment has done really well. It could be doing much, much better. But it's only as a result of the stimulus, the jobs plan that O'Reilly was sitting there disparaging. I suppose it's easy to look down on a jobs plan when you're sitting from your comfy perch at Fox News making tens of millions of dollars
sure.
a year.
Yeah, exactly. Monica Crowley on the Fox and Friends.
One day last summer, I was having dinner with a great girlfriend, and we were going through this long list of all of this leftist insanity and social engineering coming from the Obama administration over so many years. And at one point, I just sort of sat back and I said, what the bleep just happened? What happened to America? What happened to our economy? What happened to jobs? What happened to our superpower status?
What
bleep just happened? $16 trillion in debt. What the bleep?
What the... What the fox?
So it was just such a fun dinner with my girlfriends. And then, like, we sang into our airbrushes about how the president is a fascist and a communist. It was just a really good night head by all. Can you imagine what a boring dinner that was?
Yeah. Wow. Way to be a fly
socialist
on the,
leftist.
To be a fly
where?
On the soup.
I'll take the bitter beet salad, please.
All right, Bob Beckel and Andrea Tantaros on the phone.
They have deported as many people. The maximum they can deport has something to do with it. Yeah.
But Dana doesn't, or Greg doesn't, that point to a larger problem? Oops. If he's deporting all these illegals. Right, and then he has to offer amnesty. Isn't that just evidence that he hasn't sealed the border?
Huh?
What?
No.
Wait a minute. So they want illegal immigrants to
come in so they can deport them. What?
Darn right.
Wow.
You think right wing policies are supposed to make sense? The other thing that they're forgetting these folks that have been here. That will be, you know, given the opportunity to continue on with their education, et cetera, they have to have been here for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
And that predates the Obama administration.
Yeah.
That's inconvenient.
That's an inconvenient fact, mm-hmm. Carl Frisch. And we end with Rush Limbaugh.
Now, you could credit ISA for delaying this until an election year, when more people are paying attention, when it'll have more impact. Mm. I don't know that he's doing anything of the sort. I'm just suggesting that if you want bang for your buck, there's going to be more for it this year than if he'd gotten this done last year.
Wow! Is he supposed to say that out loud? It's kind of blatantly cheerleading for a partisan witch hunt.
Witch hunt, yeah.
Yeah.
I think ICE is going to be pretty angry, but he's not going to say anything about that because Rush Limbaugh runs everything. And in fairness, I mean, Daryl ISA didn't wait just for the election year. He was busy, you know, breaking into cars and threatening people with guns like he did in his 20s. You know, anybody can Google that. That's who Daryl ISA is.
Google it. Yeah. He's got a Google problem, much like Santorum. All right. Carl Frisch, I gotta get your take on one other story before you go. Did you hear about Dan Savage, whom we love?
Yep. He's been on the show.
Yes. The It Gets Better Project. He called a gay conservative group the F word for gay men.
Geo Proud.
Yes, after they endorsed Mitt Romney. Doesn't that fall under the you're not helping category on our side?
Yeah, it does. I think... It doesn't add to the discussion. The sentiment, that Go Proud, first of all, that Go Proud as a gay group is just a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
As far as I know, it's still being chaired by a straight woman. and second of all, they're not a gay organization. They could give, 2 cents about gay issues.
The honorary chair is Ann Coulter.
Oh,
if that tells you anything.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a man, baby.
Yeah, because she's on the board, and then there's this woman I've never heard of that's in charge. But they never stand up for marriage equality, for don't ask, don't tell. It's not a central part of what they stand for. There are two types of gay Republicans. There are the types of gay Republicans, and I would say that these are largely the log cabin types, that LGBT equality and civil rights are what the organization is about. And the next thing are the conservative ideals that they also believe in. And then there are the go proud Republican gay people. And those people think that tax cuts will certainly help them out more than any kind of gay civil rights will. and pursue those things
right. And
much
Carl,
more strongly than anything else.
I'm not saying, I as I've said many times, I do not think there could be a starker contrast this year, on gay rights in particular. And I just do not understand people voting against their own self-interest. So I share Dan Savage's thoughts on that. But mm-hmm. he tweeted a link about the story about the group's endorsement mocking
right.
them as the GOP House F-words for grabbing their ankles right on cue. And I was saying, Jackie Schechner does a great piece, a blog called it, You're Not Helping. Because I'm just saying there are people on our side that you go, it's not helping, though, to use their language, their rhetoric against them,
oh,
I don't think.
But that's
Dan Savage's stock and trade.
No, I know. Yeah. But I'm just saying then they will point to this and go, then you can't express outrage when somebody on our side uses the F word for gay man, right?
No, and you know what? If they don't do it that way, we're not likely to see the right wing ever castigate people that say this type of stuff about gay people. And that's what makes it unfortunate, is that now, rather than having a discussion about Go Proud's place in the gay civil rights movement, if it even has a place, we're now talking about what they can and can't be called.
And
that's what the distraction is.
Right. I mean, it's just, I think Jackie's last piece, remember we talked to her about, was a rock the slut vote?
Yeah.
And, trying to take
right.
back that word. It's like, that's not like taking back liberal that... is not a bad word. That's a word we don't want. And I'm just saying I don't want to, because then they'll go, oh, well, see, gay guys call themselves that. And, oh, see, black people call themselves the N-word. So it's, what I'm saying?
I do. And really what this conversation needs to be about is the fact that Mitt Romney will be a miserable failure for gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender people in this country. Mm-hmm. He does not support anything. I mean, even when he says he thinks that we should be able to visit each other in the hospital, he's willing to let states outlaw that right. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who will take us backwards before the Bush administration. Remember, George W. Bush, we said his name three times on the show today. George W. Bush said that he supported civil unions. Mitt Romney doesn't support civil unions, marriage equality, or domestic partnerships.
Yep.
This is a guy that will take us backwards.
Yep,
well,
absolutely.
You had me at Mitt Romney is going to be a miserable failure.
And by the way, you complete me. Goodbye, Carl Frisch. I love you.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
All right, you too, honey. 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Tom in L.A. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Stephanie. Hey, I have an appeal. Instead of us repeating the right wing talking points, can we get everyone to call, tweet, email John Boehner and Eric Cantor and ask them when next week they're going to take a vote on the transportation bill?
Yeah, we're enjoying your little political skit, your little partisan witch hunt skit. However, how about you do something for the American people for a change? Maybe they'll let this guy have a hearing. I was mentioning the Arizona Secretary of State.
Yep.
Here's his latest theory. He's the top election official in Arizona,
That's right.
Fresh off his flirtation with birtherism, he has moved on to a new conspiracy theory regarding President Obama. Are you ready? Secretary of State Ken Bennett, that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's convinced Obama was born in Hawaii now. But he now believes the president fraudulently claimed to be born in Kenya so he could get into college.
Right.
He also believes the president has spent millions of dollars since then to cover it up. At a Republican meeting last week, a video shows Bennett continuing to joke about the president's birth, saying voters need to send him back home, wherever home is.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Some kind of stunt or something?
In Arizona, the Secretary of State pretty much acts as a lieutenant governor, so he's next in line behind Jan Brewer. Kind of like Jan Brewer was when they plucked Janet Napolitano
out
of Arizona.
You have Arizona. No, not to rub it in. You have that guy. We have Gavin Newsom. He's our lieutenant governor. Okay. All right. Let's go to Mark in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Oh,
Mark, you okay?
Hello. It's Mr. Mark. I'm not in Seattle.
Okay.
I'm in San Francisco, but okay. I'm the ex-roadie. I'm the old roadie. I would like to be the official retired rock and roll roadie of the Stephanie Miller Show.
What band? What did you roadie for?
Name a band.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Neil Diamond.
No. Nice try. Jefferson. Okay, here we go. Jefferson Starship, Dave Mason, Rick James, Paul Simon.
Wow.
Did he ever burn you with a crack pipe?
Stop it.
Just kidding.
We just played some Rick James earlier.
I love Rick
James. No, but I smoked some really bad dope with Rick James. Really rotten. Buffalumbo, we used to call it. Anyway.
All right. Anyway, that's a different story for a different time. Go ahead, Mark.
Here we go. First of all, enjoy the Paramount Theater. It is a beautiful place.
Oh, September 29th, Sexy Liberal.
There you go. The load-in is a mess. It is down a flight of stairs to the stage door, which is fine.
That's touring speak, guys. Load-in. Load-in's tour speak.
Of course, we won't be having any Marshall stacks, I don't think.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, not good for that. For a suitcase with a ventriloquist dummy in it, like John McCain had.
Right. You know, I may do that for the Seattle show. I may bring Orly Tates as my...
Oh, God.
I'll work up a whole other skit.
That's a good idea.
All right, Mark, thank you. Sorry, out of time. We were just too entertained by your old rock and roll stories. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
As a cougar.
Wait, I thought you said a cougar can't be over 50.
Okay, she's a melon camp.
I'm not over 50. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go
you
to
You are over 50.
I am not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Rick Derringer's over 50.
Debbie in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Oh,
thank you.
How dare you. Hi, Debbie.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I didn't find you with my butt. I found you with my fingers.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. We are pro-choice here. Go ahead.
And also, that I think we need to find Daryl Issa in contempt and all his Republican colleagues on the committee. They need to be held in contempt.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. This is just and I guess you shouldn't be surprised. Everything they do is just blatantly political.
Right.
I love when the president actually does things to help people, like the immigration move or marriage equality or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's being just blatantly crazy, just crazy political and partisan. And then this stuff is,
Yeah.
Okay, Dennis in Vancouver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dennis.
Oh, hi, Steph.
Hi.
I just wanted to mention that the NRA is nothing more than a propaganda machine, just like Fox News is for the Republican Party. They used to represent people that owned guns to like go hunting and that, but they've lost that goal as an organization. All that you have to do is look at their board of directors and people like Ted Nugent. And formerly they had Senator Larry Craig from Idaho was on their board of directors. And he absolutely did nothing for the hunters and fishermen in Idaho when he was a senator.
Yeah. They're nothing but a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists over at the NRA anymore.
Yeah. You need a wide stance, don't you, when you're at a shooting range? Okay. Let's go to Tyler in Sacramento.
Well, if your gun has a lot of recoil.
Tyler, if you like things to go off in your hand.
No.
What?
Oh,
Tyler in Sacramento. What are you laughing at?
How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to comment about that Joe the Plumber commercial where he says that the Holocaust was caused by gun control in 1939.
Yes, because clearly if they had handguns, those German tanks would have...
Yeah, that thing is just stupid and wrong for so many reasons, not the least of which is that the Holocaust had nothing at all to do with gun control because, first of all, few Jews had guns in 1939 anyway, so more gun control would have done little to hurt them. And secondly, no one knew that people were being killed off until it was too late, and anything they did know was just rumors anyway by then.
Yeah.
And lastly,
yeah.
The Holocaust didn't begin in 1939. It actually began in 1933 with a systematic persecution of Jews and non-Germans that prevented them from participating in politics and social life, just like how the Republicans are doing now with their persecution of women, of gays, of Muslims, minorities, liberals, and anyone else who's not a white, male, gun-toting, America-loving, redneck conservative, just like them. That's how it started.
You make it sound like the commercial was some sort of non sequitur that ends in him shooting fruit.
Tyler, you're very smart.
Yeah, he's the smartest boy in class this morning. All right.
And as I said before, Hitler had tanks and airplanes.
Yeah.
You know,
guns don't work too well.
Yeah.
Guns don't work too well against those.
Yeah. Connie in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Connie.
Good morning. Good morning. Love you all so much.
I love you back.
I worked all night, and it's just great to get a laugh in the morning. It's great.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
A question.
Yes.
Wasn't it... Dick Cheney, who invoked executive privilege when he didn't want all his stuff to get out after his energy meetings?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well,
you
still hasn't.
You're not implying that he was meeting with oil and gas people, are you?
Oh, the whole schmucky Enron bunch.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
All
I'm
right.
tired. Gotta go.
I gotta go. I'm sleepy. Gotta go now. Nappy time. All right. Michelle Obama talking about the election.
This election will be even closer than the last one. This is all going to come down to those last few thousand people we register to vote at will.
Yeah, all exactly. Turnout.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, so the president, he's been over, he's been in Los Cabos, actually. He says Mitt Romney's campaign advisors should quit criticizing him on foreign policy, especially since they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
He was talking. He was asked about an op-ed written by a Romney economics advisor that ran in a German newspaper. The president.
I would point out that we have one president at a time and one administration at a time, and I think traditionally the notion has been that America's political differences end at the water's edge.
Yeah, remember that.
I'd also suggest that he may not be familiar with what our suggestions to the Germans have been. And I think sometimes back home there's a desire to superimpose whatever ideological arguments are taking place back home onto a very complicated situation in Europe.
Yeah, once again, speaking of unprecedented, remember any time but George, but the president's on foreign soil, how dare you? And they respect no
right.
precedent,
that's
these,
right.
This Republican bunch. Yes, I know there's breaking news. I see you're giving me covered quarter breaking news eyes. Yes,
we have a Supreme Court ruling about the FCC, so it affects you, me, Jim,
well,
everybody here.
What the did they say?
About
instancy?
So I can't say. They have sided with TV networks and presumably radio shows, saying that the FCC regulators overreached in some indecency punishments.
Ooh. Oh, hallelujah.
So we are free.
As a filthy little show.
So yeah, I can mention that town in Austria again?
Well,
no, I don't think we should do that
no.
yet again.
So, yeah. You know, that's score one for free speech.
Okay. Yay. That means we have our fucking...
Oh.
Sorry. Oops, I totally didn't mean to do that. I was going
what
for that.
What is wrong with you?
I did it for real. Did you catch that? Oh, boy.
Current. You need to catch that.
Oh, boy. Sorry about that. I just gave him a stroke. I apologize. Chris, get up. Come on. Come on. Run it off. I was doing a about the freedom. I was calling for that.
Yeah.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
All right. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, bye. What is wrong with you?
Hey, I'm sleepy. I don't get enough sleep.
No one here gets enough sleep.
I know.
I guess that was a bad excuse. Yeah. All
right. You're not getting any sympathy from any of us with that excuse.
Drunk? No.
No.
Okay. All right. I was a little over. It was a little over celebratory of the Supreme Court decision. Are they deciding anything else today, or is that it?
FNA.
Decisions come out when they want to release them. They don't give a schedule or anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, they were saying if it's not what's today? Thursday. If it's not, they're not in session tomorrow.
Right.
So if it's not today, then next week is the last time.
Yeah.
Next, and they were saying it's going to be a madhouse if they wait until Thursday, because that'll be, you know, because then people will know that they're going to, you know.
But they have released a whole bunch of decisions on one day before. It you know, that's not unprecedented. So we just don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm not watching CNN anymore, because they keep saying.
Or current TV.
It's going to be today or not.
Yeah.
We do know
literally there was a thing today going, it could be today.
Or not.
Or not.
We do know that Clarence Thomas will not say anything.
No, we do know that for sure. He has his big
what he said.
He has his big stamp that just says whatever Scalia just said.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That it could be any day, right? It could be any day next week, or
Right.
They are in session on Friday, so yeah. If it's not today, and we have what, another hour and a half or so.
Sure.
So we'll see.
And right. Courtney in current TV, they caught that. So.
Oh good. Thank God. Oh, Courtney. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. Thanks,
exactly.
Courtney.
Effed up if they had.
Yeah, that would really.
But you know what? If you subscribe to the Stephcast, only $4.95.
Oops.
Okay, oh, catch that.
Yeah, you'll get
That's
the entire
awesome.
Thing.
You'll get me missing
oh,
my
boy.
Button.
And losing your.
Okay, let's just leave it
and
there.
The people on the Ustream feed, they got it too.
Well, there's a little something extra for you.
Yeah.
Welcome to the loading dock. All right, so, by the way.
Change it to the FU stream.
Speaking of free speech.
The FU stream.
We just changed the name. Can we change the names on these hats? Who knows how to embroider here? Talking. Liberally,
yeah.
With Stephanie Miller.
A little too liberally, in fact.
Okay, speaking of free speech, I'm trying to start this story again. Romney calls his supporters heckling of Obama free speech. Uh-huh. Here we go again with double standards. While the campaign to reelect Obama has made it clear they do not support attempts, Axelrod just said this the mm-hmm. other day, to heckle political opponents on the campaign trail, Mitt Romney's campaign has refused to take a stand against the practice, according to a new piece in the Boston Globe. On Tuesday, Romney said in the Fox News radio interview, he attempted to portray heckling as a First Amendment issue, citing a long history of heckling and free speech in America.
All right, then. We got people who can shout, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
If you want to start that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like somebody talked about the precedent of heckling the president in the Rose Garden in the middle of a statement. Like, really? Is that where we're going? So that's just going to be the way. Yeah. Yeah.
What's that line from The Untouchables? You bring us what?
Let's see. Oh, jeez.
You bring a gun.
Oh,
I'll
do we send one of yours to the. Hospital.
You put one of ours in the hospital, or we put yours in the morgue.
Yeah, there it is. Okay.
That's the Chicago way.
All right, now you just can't leave.
Okay.
Steve Bannon wrote, keep in mind we're talking about a fairly specific, deliberate plan from Romney campaign headquarters. They sent hecklers to disrupt an Obama campaign event in May. Last week, Team Romney sent its bus to circle an Obama event in Cleveland, honking its horn repeatedly for no other reason to be obnoxious. It's presidential politics is at junior high school level. Yeah, it's, what are we, back at Cranbrook?
Yeah.
I mean... Seriously?
Yeah, it's he's a bully.
Yeah.
And he's hiring all these other bullies.
Yeah, our friend Ben LeBolt from the Obama campaign said campaigns are a reflection of their candidate. Mitt Romney has a different view endorsing heckling. All right, Mittens.
Okay, Mittens. You asked for it.
Mittens tends to get a little attachy. See how he likes that.
Giant Marshall stacks blasting Sex Pistols at Romney.
Stephanie Miller's show.
Stephanie Miller's show
does not endorse that idea. We're just saying.
Why don't we just take a great big fire hose and spray him with Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
No.
Free speech.
No carbonation on the Mormons. That's like water on a vampire.
Sorry.
Stop it.
I'm just spitballing here.
You're trying to out-outrageous me this segment.
You can't even do that on Planet Kolob.
Oh, stop it. 45 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back. Thanks to the new Supreme Court ruling on the FCC.
Great.
Next on the Stephanie.
Say it. Never mind.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what you've done.
Stephanie Miller. I want to do bad
things. Oh, yeah. It is the, and say bad words, 50 minutes after the hour.
I want to say bad things on the radio.
You can catch that. You could have caught that on the, as Jim calls it now, the FU stream.
Yeah. But,
Mama blurted out a naughty word by accident. I was all excited about the Supreme Court ruling about the FCC. Okay, so.
Although I recommend purchasing the Stephcast, only $4.95 a month, if you buy a year in advance, because you'll get it there,
yes,
too.
Yes, hello. It's pure loading dock.
Yep.
Many times I'm asked by interviewers, what's the sexy liberal comedy tour like? And I said, it's like the radio show without the FCC. And now the radio show is like the radio show without the FCC. If you'd like to catch the real thing, we'll be in L.A. July 28th at the Pantages. Tickets almost gone there. Tickets almost gone for Columbus August 18th, and then almost gone, what?
Seattle, Washington.
September.
Grunge may be done, but the 2012 elections are just firing up. And just in time, everyone's favorite Gen Xer, Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, right.
And her band of sexy liberal cohorts are coming back to you.
I get so horny when I'm in Seattle.
USA, I give Seattle and Tacoma much play.
On Saturday, September 29th, 2012, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will return to the Great Northwest. The Paramount Theater will host the most successful progressive comedy trio of our time. Featuring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and a favorite of Pike Place Market, Stephanie Miller.
Her brand of tuna was bent.
Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4849. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Paramount Theater. Seattle, Washington, this is your final chance before the 2012 election to experience pure progressive nirvana.
Sexy. Yeah.
By the way, no health care or immigration rulings today.
Okay. All right.
No soup for you.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, in Seattle, we just had a roadie from Rock and Roll Roadie say the load in there's a bitch. Takes a while. I got to go downstairs and stuff, so I got to leave early for Seattle.
Well, yeah, and you got to get that award-winning set down there too.
Yes, the bare bulb hanging on the ceiling.
Yeah, that one light bulb.
We got to get the light bulb in.
We
got to get the stool set up. It's the whole thing.
Let me just hire some roadies to haul some Marshall stacks up the stairs, just to, you know, get them something.
Just because you can.
Just for the heck of
it. Yeah.
All right. Joe writes, Steph, I was wondering this myself. Steph, Romney must be an Obama plant. Nobody could be that dumb on purpose. This is feeling a little, I don't know. I mean, I know everyone, the storyline is it's going to be close, but this could be a little Harlem Globetrotters. You know what I'm saying? He could be the Washington General, and Obama is Meadowlark London, is all I'm saying.
It's assuming all the votes are counted.
Yes.
Probably, which
yes.
You can't. Yeah.
Just saying.
Assume.
He is
anymore.
Sort of, I think, a horrifically bad candidate. I somehow, when he makes his, gaff a day, I just, like, picture the president, like, dribbling a basketball through his legs.
Yeah.
And just, you know. Why? Oh, he's in sport, and I'm not.
I'm not in sport.
I'm not the right height for this.
I'm tall enough
and
to be
the
sport,
athlete.
In that she pays for some guy to ride her horse.
Yeah.
All right. Oy vey, looky here. This is a Shonda, as they say. This is a whole mishpucha we got going on here. There's a Hebrew National kosher scandal. Did you hear?
What? You don't
Consumers say. Of Hebrew National meat products are suing for allegedly using non-kosher beef in the production of their widely...
That's kind of a problem.
That is a problem. Why, our friend Sid Flegelman in Boca is...
Ay, vey, es mi, such a shanda. Hebrew National hot dogs are not kosher now. Look for them in your grocer's tray file. Ay, 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 ay. Why not Hebrew National pork, cheese, and lobster hoagies already? Or better yet, just shoot me. ConAgra can kiss my Hebrew National tuchus. Mislabeling hot dogs with a triangle K symbol so they can charge more fat. They might as well label it KKK. Or better yet, call them Hitler National. Get cocking them felt, you schmendricks.
Hey!
Hey.
All right. Speaking of Shondas in Florida, so did you see the breaking news? The Bill Lee, the Sanford, Florida police chief, who was obviously strongly criticized in the Trayvon Martin case, he has been fired.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. About time. By the way, did George Zimmerman not know that you're recorded when you're in prison? He did. That was the prosecutor just released new tapes of him speaking to his wife while under arrest. That they claim show he was trying to hide thousands of dollars in legal funds. His wife was arrested earlier this month for perjury. They say the tapes prove she and her husband were planning on hiding the money from the legal fund. Gee, yeah, what a surprise! His story doesn't seem to quite check out.
Hmm.
Did you see a thing today, Jim? He was acting out what happened in the Trayvon case. That's a nice skit. Thanks.
Too bad you can't have the other guy there to act out his side of the story. Because he's dead, because you killed him.
Yeah, exactly. All right, speaking of the police work, wow. Now, this is Jim Dandy police work, because you know how we... I just love our justice system. We have a presumption of innocence, obviously.
Inuits?
And innocence. Even if you're a tax hole.
Sure.
Don't bring the Inuits into this.
I just love the way the story is written. Provo police suspect the man was under... They suspect, because you have to suspect.
Sure.
The headline is DUI suspect crashes into a liquor store and his own garage door.
Oh, that sounds like you every weekend.
Wow. Provo police suspect a man was under the influence when he crashed his car at a liquor store, tried to drive into his garage while the door was down.
Oh.
That is a little bit of a telltale sign. There might be alcohol involved.
You've driven your car into, like...
The sides, not with the door down.
Oh, okay.
Well, so those garages were designed for Model Ts.
Yeah.
Not gigantic aircraft carriers with wheels.
Aircraft carriers that carry Great Pyrenees. They're not designed for that.
If you had like the back of your garage painted on the garage door,
sure,
sort of like an optical illusion, I could see that happening.
The vehicle hit a cinder block retaining wall at the liquor store, left the scene with significant damage to the car and the wall. Officers followed tire marks to a home where they found the same driver had jumped a sidewalk and entered the backyard. The vehicle struck a tree, ran over a rose bush before leaving that scene. They eventually found the vehicle crashed into his closed garage door.
This totally
sounds like
you. They
arrested him on suspicion of DUI.
Suspicion.
Don't even bother.
You ran over your own self with a car.
I wasn't drunk. It was during the day. I was.
Because
I had a. I used to have a driveway. That was my old
place.
On
a hill, like a steep hill.
Yeah. So I was going to get my mail, and I thought I'd put the car in park, and I turned to get the mail, and I turned around. My car turned into Christine, and I had to run for my life from my own car, and my driver's side door knocked me over. I was like,
I wish there were a film of that.
I am a disaster.
Do we have security footage of that? I would pay cash money.
I'm just a disaster.
Oh.
Also, when you're living on that steep hill, you never learned how to use the gears.
No.
So you burned out your brakes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, going down Laurel Canyon. Who knew? Who knew you weren't supposed to lay on the brakes the whole way down? I'm like, what? I need new brake pads. It's only been 3 weeks.
Why are there sparks coming out of the tires?
What is that high-pitched whine every time I come to a stop sign? All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Chaz Bono and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, the absolute best part of the epilogue in Chaz Bono's book, out in paperback now.
What?
Backstage drama at Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, really?
We'll talk to him about that. And how come his mom did Randy Rhoads' show, not mine?
Well, she...
Come on, Cher, wake up, wake up!
She gets
Kathy Griffin gives all the details of her schedule. She goes to bed at 4 and gets up at noon?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him if that's true.
Cher's not an early morning person.
So maybe she understood my wrinkled green pashmina when I met her a couple weeks ago, because she probably just woke up, too, before she went out for the evening. Just saying. Could happen. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Anyway, saw Chaz there. He is delightful as always, and we will have him on in just a few minutes. Okay. StephanieMiller.com. Oh, I promised this earlier. Because you know misspellings in my hate mail, Jim. Fairly standard. Bad spellers of the world.
Untie.
Yeah.
Dyslexics.
This one from, who is this? Rob, I guess.
Did he misspell that?
No.
Kind of hard.
I'm sorry.
Rob.
Rusty from Rusty. Rusty. His name is Rusty. I'm sorry. Okay, so you still want I'll have to explain how it's spelled. You still want single payer? You incompetent whore? Is what the that was his. what he was
trying to write.
Yes. U is spelled just with a U. That's fine, because I know people text speak.
Sure.
I gave him that one.
Okay.
That was a freebie.
That's a gimme.
Still, fine. Want, fine. Oh, and by the way, yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes, I do still want single payer, and clearly I am an incompetent whore, as evidenced by me dropping an F-bomb on my own show after 30 years of broadcasting last hour. So, Rusty, your points are valid. Let's just do a little tutorial in spelling. You still want. You were good. You were good so far. Single is spelled S-I-N-G-E-L.
No.
Payer is spelled P-A-Y-E-A-H.
Payer.
Paya.
Payer.
Paya.
U.
Paya.
U again with just a U.
Spelled in Boston.
Yeah. Paya. Single paya.
Incompetent, I think is incompetently spelled. And then a whore is spelled H-O-R-R-E.
Horre. I think that's the ancient Anglo-Saxon spelling. Right?
Sure.
This may be Rusty's first hate letter. He's still warming up.
Oh, bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Exactly. All right. He was trying.
What if you get single payer and he likes it?
I don't know.
What's he going to do?
I'll be great. An incompetent whore that was right.
I hate that this is working.
Right, R-I-T-E.
Damn it.
What?
Right, R-I-T. He wouldn't add the E in there. E is silent.
Exactly. All right. Kids, Rocky Mountain Mike sent us a piece of... Oh, is this a salute to our right-wing friends and their fans?
That's right.
Are you going to talk some crap tonight? Are you going to sing it from the right? Are you going to lie your ass right off that ditto head? You made the right-wing world go round.
That was great. George in Phoenix. Hi, George. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
The best show on the air.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. And Rusty needs some oil. And I think he's still around with two oils, which makes it a rube.
Oil can. What's that, Rusty?
That.
Oil can.
Hey,
spelled O-O-I-L-E. Yes, go ahead.
And Governor Bonefinger. And I remember listening to...
Governor Bonefinger. That's a new Bond film. She's a Bond girl.
Bonefinger.
The ultimate villain. She was the governor when the president came out here to do our commencement speech. And I'd like to see any of the emails or letters that were sent back and forth between the university president, who works directly for the governor in the state of Arizona, and whether or not that decision was made at the governor's office not to bestow on the President of the United States the honorary degree that they gave to Tom Baraka when he did our commencement speech.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. All right. Brian.
Well, Tom Baraka is famously not black.
No. Not even black.
Black. Black.
People. Hello, Brian in Birmingham, Alabama. Hi.
Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
Just wanted to ask a quick question. If the Supreme Court decides to eliminate the individual mandate, which I don't know if you guys saw Lawrence O'Donnell's show last night. He basically showed...
Nothing happened if it didn't happen on current TV. I don't know what you're talking about.
Lawrence, who? There's really no problem. You don't really get in any serious trouble if you don't participate in the mandate. So I don't understand that. But my question is, if that struck down, would that also make the Massachusetts law unconstitutional, which was what it was modeled after?
Oh, thank you. You'll take your answer off air. Thank you. We'll have to ask Mittens. He'd be the expert in that.
Yeah.
He wrote a delightful op-ed about why the mandate was essential.
Mm.
I was surprised. I was telling you, I heard Jan Schakowsky, our rockin' congresswoman from Illinois, say that she thought it is still workable even if the mandate is struck down, which I was surprised about. But she was just...
It could be.
She was referencing Medicare, where there isn't technically a mandate, but if you wait longer, it costs you more. And,
yeah.
You know.
Whatever.
That whole thing. I just don't understand how it goes... The pre-existing condition thing. It just seems...
the right thing to do.
Right. I don't see how you pull that out without... Okay. Jeannie in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I wanted to say, you know, if we're going to have an immature president, I don't know why these people fall for this guy. You know, I mean, it's just the way he handles his campaign... I don't know how people can have any respect for this man.
Like a high school bully, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just disgusting. I mean, it just goes to show you that the people who his fans are probably the same way anyway.
I wonder if the president, like, whoops him as much as we think he's going to in the debate, if he'll try to hold him down and cut his hair.
Obama is going to eat him up and spit him out.
There you go. Just
patooey.
Bullying.
Frustration.
Bullying. Bullying is free speech, my friend.
Wonder if he'll try to do that hand on his shoulder that the Vulcan death grip he tried to do on Rick Perry.
Yeah.
Think he'll try that? I don't know. No touching.
I'll bet you $10,000.
No. Then I think the president's going to go all Ving Rhames. You know what I mean? He'll just like, he'll go all Sam
go
Jackson.
Medieval on your ass.
Yeah, medieval.
I am sorry. All right. The Romney camp. Is he speaking to a Latino group today? How's it going to go?
Huh.
I love this. He will offer more detailed remarks on immigration today in Orlando. But we don't. They won't give us any details.
Nope. Bienvenidos. I'm here to give you more.
He's still probably formulating his latest
detailed remarkos.
Sort of
detailed remarkos.
Details. You can tell this is why Marco
Rubio
is trying to get on that VP list. He in an interview with Christianity Today. He reiterates his opposition to same-sex marriage, pointing out the Bible opposes it, as do all of the faiths, Catholic, Mormon, Evangelical, Christian. He's experienced. Wow. He grew up a Mormon. Did you know that little fun fact?
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
He was actually part of a singing group with his brothers and cousins, a la the Osmonds.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's why probably he's not going to get chosen, because that would be too much for the God warriors. You know what I'm saying? That would be too dark-sided, you know what I'm saying?
Dark-sided?
Yeah.
God warrior!
Mm-hmm.
He's dark-sided, too!
He also suggests that society shouldn't, quote-unquote, tolerate less than, quote-unquote, ideal family structures.
Which would be pretty much nobody, an ideal family structure.
Yes, whose family wasn't ideal in every way? My friend once said about the group Adult Children of Alcoholics, she goes, oh, please, who isn't? All right. Oh, this is going to be breaking news to absolutely nobody, Jim. House Republican budget would raise taxes on the middle class, cut them for millionaires.
Huh.
I think progress has just done a little helpful breakdown for us. The House Republican budget by the budget monster Paul Ryan would raise taxes on families making less than $200,000, even while it gives millionaires a tax cut. So although households earning $100,000 to $200,000 a year would save $7,000 from the lower tax rates in the GOP plan, those savings would be swamped by eliminating major deductions.
Well, Paul Ryan, I think, rather than have retired people eat pet food, he wants to turn them into pet food.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's his solution.
Yeah.
And then tax it.
Yeah.
The net result, married couples in that income range would pay an additional $2,700 annually to the IRS. Households earning more than $1 million, meanwhile, could see a next tax cut of $300,000 annually. Wow-wee. Well, that's fun. Chuck Schumer said, Ryan seems to want to have his cake and eat it, too. And this report shows that you can't. If you want to cut taxes on the rich and not raise the deficit, you're going to have to basically clobber the middle class. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? Look what you've done.
Yeah.
Look what you've done. Take your little buddy.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? I won't go! I won't! I won't! I won't! You can't eat me! You can't! You can't!
Okay, Brenda in Cleveland on Mittens. Hi, Brenda.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you all? Good today. Answer that question.
Oh, okay.
They told me, warned me not to ask it.
All right.
That's a belt it. But let me tell you this. In Lamar, Iowa, December the 11th, there's a big old beautiful video of Mitt Romney standing up in front of a crowd in Iowa talking about if that Dream Act comes across his desk when he's president, he's going to veto it.
Yep.
And if they get it through, he's going to repeal it. So I don't know why the Democrats, MSNBC, and all of them aren't playing that video. Maybe they're waiting until after he tells his lies today at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, there you go. Well, no, I've seen it, Brenda. They've been playing the clip. I mean, it's hard to walk back from that.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I think they should play the clip on every channel all day long while he's talking to
that ain't going to happen on Fox
Latino
News.
Community.
No, that will be disappeared into the cornfield on Fox News.
Yeah.
Just magically away. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Boy.
Stephanie Miller.
Pointing at me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm not pointing at you. I'm cueing you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know you. I know you.
I know you, too. I know you.
1-800. Hey, you. I know you.
F12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
I'm not a strong talker.
I'll have to ask Chaz Bono about that at the bottom of the hour. Romney administration blocked Massachusetts bullying guide over the words transgender and bisexual.
Huh.
I guess they weren't allowed to play any of their reindeer games.
Nope.
Massachusetts. Interesting.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Ah, why, looky here. Hey, you know, Mitt Romney, also a big fan of healthcare, including the mandate, Massachusetts.
That's right. Interesting.
Uh-huh. If the Supreme Court overturns the Affordable Care Act, 77% of Americans want the President and Congress to work on a new legislation overhaul of the healthcare system. According to a new AP poll. Only 19% say they want lawmakers to leave healthcare the way it is. If the healthcare, why? What a dandy idea, America. Why? What a good idea if people were to come to the table together to work on healthcare overhaul, including popular provisions like not being discriminated against for pre-existing conditions and having your kids stay on your healthcare until they're 26 and closing the donut hole. And why? Mm. What a good idea. If someone, if only someone had thought of that. How?
But Mitt Romney will send people out to heckle. Wherever that's
right.
Being discussed.
Socialist coming!
Yeah, did you see this? He essentially, last week, he confirmed he would allow, people to be discriminated against for pre-existing conditions if the president's health care law is struck down. When he said the thing about Americans who have not been continuously insured, there's a little loophole.
Yeah.
Not like a tax hole, but it's a loop. he would only protect people that already, isn't that defeating the purpose? He would only protect people that have coverage already. That's the whole point.
Right.
To not discriminate against people.
That would continue to make health care costs go way, way up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
So only rich people will be able to afford it.
That's right.
Oh, interesting.
By the way, interesting story recently in the New Republic. There was no mandate backlash in Massachusetts. There's been all this, now Romney's like, oh my God, we just can't have the mandate. Who thought of that?
I'm against mandates. Dates should be between a man and a woman.
Let's see. The backlash in just a story about how it never happened in Massachusetts. 63% said they supported the Massachusetts law. There was an effort there to repeal the mandate. They couldn't even get enough signatures to do that. The Affordable Care Act's coverage expansion nearly identical to the one in Massachusetts, right down to the mandate, of course. It's all this fear-mongering that's been done. I mean, that's really what it's been. It's been Republican spin and fear-mongering. And now what? Now even they're panicking. Mm-hmm. But if they strike it down, it's like, okay.
Now what?
Yeah. All right. It literally, Jim, will be like, I think we should do this, but this time with our hands. It'll be pretty much the exact same thing, just it'll be their idea. Benet in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Benet.
Hey, Stephanie. Y'all are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Keep it up. I got to talk to John Fuselsang, who gave me some words of encouragement the first time I called, so I'm all fired up and ready to go.
Yay!
But I'm not a tax attorney or an accountant, but I think Mitt Romney has done something illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You know how everybody's been talking about the $77,000 deduction for these stupid dressage horses?
Right, and we were saying, how do you get to do that?
See, he's calling it a business to take the tax write-off, but he keeps going around on the stump talking about how it's for his wife's physical therapy. Isn't that lying somewhere? Doesn't the IRS not like it when you lie to them to get extra tax?
Right. Well, because she may do that privately, but the deduction is for the professional, Olympic,
mm-hmm.
the actual dressage horse that's in the Olympics. Yeah, someone else sent me this. Because Jim, some tax lawyer, didn't they call and told us because it's an LLC or something? Because we're like, how do you get to deduct $77,000 for a hobby, what would seem like a hobby?
It's a deduction for the rich only, basically.
Oh, Von Seal sends us this from the New Yorker. The Romneys reported a business loss for the care of Rafalka that added up to some $77,000. Mm-hmm. This may be entirely within the rules, but it's a reminder of how the tax code is full of pleasant surprises if one is rich, which remain invisible if one is not.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. It's a tax hole. For tax holes.
It is a tax hole.
Good point. Thank you.
Okay. So you weren't lying
Thank
or...
You.
being crazy when you made up that word.
Just no, I misspoke, but I coined a new phrase.
Yeah.
Eric in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Steph. Hey, this whole trickle-down economics is, I walk in and Mitt Romney's sleeping with my wife, and he says, well, gee, you benefit. You got to see her naked. And that's trickle-down for you. This, the reason I'm calling is the healthcare thing. It's true at all that there's a requirement that people make a purchase. It's simply a requirement that people have to show they have insurance. Now, there's going to be the poor that won't have to make a purchase at all. They'll be, with the expanded Medicaid, they'll be given insurance. So those people right away are not affected that they have to make a purchase. That's just not true at all. And then there's people like me as a middle-class small business person. I will get the bulk of my health care, in a sense, paid through a tax credit. So I won't have to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is just one of many, 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 many benefits. And the president has done a absolutely crappy job over the last couple of years explaining all the different benefits. He's been just completely afraid of this because the Republicans have made him afraid of it.
Yeah, I got to say, Mitt Romney explained it pretty well. I'm reading this Republic piece. Most important, the mandate didn't actually change life for most people in Massachusetts, at least in ways they could perceive. Most people already had insurance that satisfied the requirement. And while nationally the proportion of people with insurance is lower than it has been in Massachusetts, overall, the same basic truth holds. The majority of people already have insurance that would satisfy the mandate. Mm-hmm. A lot of fear-mongering over nothing. All right, Chaz Bono joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A woman who has a sandwich named after her at the Betty Ford Clinic.
Yeah. I'm dancing with the stars in honor of Chaz. Here we go. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, or in my case, the mediocre has-beens. Okay.
Well.
That's me. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Just ran into him at the big President Obama fundraiser out here in Beverly Hills, where I experienced the great Pashmina incident of 2012.
That's right.
In which I was photographed with Cher wearing a wrinkled green pashmina. All right. Chaz Bono joins us now. Good morning, Chaz.
Good morning, Stephanie. How you doing?
I bet your mom has not stopped talking about how horrifically dressed I was.
Yeah, right.
She hasn't, and I'm just, you know, I finally had to say enough already. You know, change the subject.
It was great to see. It was a great event, wasn't it?
It was a great event. I had a blast.
It was, you know, honestly, it was like 4 minutes, right, of when the president came out, of just people cheering and yelling, I love you and thank you, you know, for his support.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have to say, the thing that just impressed me the most, you know, as somebody who does a lot of public speaking myself, was that speech was totally without teleprompter or notes. And you would have never known by how solid it was. So I just thought, wow, he's good.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was thinking. I thought, oh my God, you can see why he is where he is.
Absolutely.
Feel like he was only talking to you. You know, like he just was talking to everybody individually, and it was really, I just thought, powerful. But anyway, I was not such a good speaker, particularly to your mom. All I said was, I know Chaz. He's been on my show. That was all I could get out. But Chaz, you know, I obviously loved the book when it came out. It's out in paperback, Transition, Becoming Who I Was Always Meant to Be. Great stuff in the epilogue, I have to say. And you
Thank
talk,
you.
Well, you know, you talk about, you know, you touch so many people as when you did your work as a gay activist, and you were saying you have so many trans people that are coming up to you saying they are being treated better, literally, because of the work you've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, that was really amazing. And, you know, after my documentary aired, I went to a bunch of conferences to do book signings, trans conferences. And yeah, I had people come up and say, like, I'm being treated better at work. I'm being treated better at school. You know, people who weren't talking to me are talking to me. My parents are talking to me again. And that was just amazing.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You cheated on me with Letterman and Howard Stern, which that's fine. But you were saying in particular, I mean, first of all, you know, your family sort of has a long history with Letterman. Your mom's been on so many times. But, you know, you made an interesting point about how you love that interview almost best because Dave's uncomfortableness is, you know, you said sort of a symbol for how most people's is. But you know, it became such a good way to get your message across, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, Dave, knowing nothing about any of this stuff, Dave, somebody who still uses, you know, homosexual for gay, was, you know, allowed me to really do like a trans 101 on television. And I, you know, I really appreciated it. And I got that he just represents a certain kind of person out there that isn't bigoted, is just really confused and doesn't have, you know, any information and is therefore uncomfortable, but not out of any kind of, you know, maliciousness.
Right. Nothing malicious in their heart. They just don't know.
Right, and you made a great point about Howard Stern, who I've never met, but, you know, you said you always had a hunch he's a pretty good guy, because you'd think that'd be an interview you'd be scared of, that it would be, you know, he'd make fun of you.
I was scared of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
Going into it, I was pretty nervous. But he was a good guy, and it was a fun interview, you know, because Howard, you don't think of him as like a great interviewer, but he really is.
Yeah, he is.
He asks questions that not only would nobody else ask, but you feel compelled to actually answer them, and honestly, and he's very disarming once you get on there.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, his main question that he asks, will you take your top off? See, with you... He probably doesn't need to. You're like, you know what, Howard? I love that you've been able to handle this with such sort of humor and just in a way that makes it more relatable for people. You talk, the great stuff in the epilogue is about Dancing with the Stars, because you talked about, I mean, talk about that whole experience. At first you said you weren't prepared for the backlash when they announced you.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I expected backlash, but that was like huge backlash. And then, of course, you know, the media grabs it and runs, and it becomes bigger. And so I knew there'd be something, but I wasn't really expecting that. And then you know, suddenly it kind of turned into, you know, really once the show started, a lot of the negative backlash went away, which I was hoping it would. But then there was this really, you know, kind of counter-positive backlash. And
right.
it was, that was kind of amazing. And I felt, it just felt like I was, you know, something bigger was going on.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of, you know, bigger progressive movement thing that took this, you know, moment in pop culture as kind of a way to push forward a little
well,
bit.
That's
and I just happened to be along for the ride, which is cool.
That's exactly it. It's putting a human face on it. You were saying that even gay people have been accepted on Dancing with the Stars and other shows, but this was different.
Right.
You know, and I think once America saw that anyone that can tango to Phantom of the Opera and Samba to Get Down on It is,
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
You got to give them some props, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and it did. And, it just the amount of support I got when I was doing that show really just blew me away. And even since, I mean, doing Dancing with the Stars really changed my life. And, you know, everywhere I go, I get, you know, people coming up to me and talking to me about that. And it's, you know, these are people that have nothing to do with the LGBT community and are, you know, also not at all uncomfortable around me. Just, you know,
right.
Feel like they got to know me and like me and, just pretty amazing.
It's interesting. Speaking of being on TV, you talk a lot in your book about, you know, being that little girl on the Sonny and Cher show. And you say you hardly remember that. That you really don't even remember that, you know.
Yeah, I don't really remember much of it. I mean, just the latter years of it, I have a little bit of memory. But I was really young. I was like 2 or something when that started. So no, I don't. Everybody else remembers it a lot better than I do.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, who was it? Shirley Temple used to say, "I can't believe it's really me up there." For better or worse, you say, my parents' decision to put me on their television show shaped the course of my entire life. How so? How do you think that it would have been different had they, you would still have been Sonny and Cher's kid, but if they hadn't
yeah,
put
but
you
there
on?
Are a lot of, if you think about it, there are a lot of, you know, kids of you know, famous people that unless they themselves have kind of done something or, you know, really pushed it, you have no idea who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so I think that, you know, the difference with me was that they put me on that show. And at that moment in time, you know, that show and my and the three of us represented, you know, the American family.
Right.
And it just got really embedded in people's minds and in people's histories of really kind of meaning something to them.
Chaz, you talk about in the book that you've obviously been through an awful lot, including the loss of a parent, losing your dad. I've lost my dad, and it's interesting. Every Father's Day, and mine, it was back in 1983. It's still hard. Is it still hard for you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a weird, you know, Father's Day is a weird day, kind of. And I have a good friend of mine lost their dad last year right before Father's Day. So this was kind of, you know, the first one of it's been a little bit of time but not much. And you know, she was, you know, just totally devastated. And I remember having, you know, those feelings. And now it's just kind of weird because it's like one of those days that everybody else celebrates but I don't really get to. It's an odd thing.
I love the stuff about, you know, that you've grown so much closer to your mom, because I think that you take us through that journey, too, of, you know, however how any parent may have a tough time at first and then, you know, gradually grow to be so, you know, you guys have grown so close, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a gradual, you know, it's been a gradual process with us, and I think that, you know, she slowly has, you know, become more and more comfortable. I don't think she's, you know, 100% comfortable with me, but I think that it's definitely, you know, getting easier.
Oh, listen, my mom's not entirely comfortable with me either, but... you know, I got to say, I love your mom's tweets about Mitt Romney. I mean, I was just saying before the break, Chaz, I was reading this headline, Romney administration blocked Massachusetts bullying guide over the words transgender and bisexual. I mean, there could not be a starker choice this year in terms of, you know,
I know,
LGBT equality, could there?
No, there really couldn't be. And I hope that, you know, I really hope that people out there who are, you know, fair-minded and have, you know, LGBT family members or loved ones really, you know, remember that. Because I think a lot of times people will kind of, you know, forget about that or put it aside. And this year it's really, I think, clearer than ever that, you know, it's, you know, your vote is going to affect, you know, this very large community of whether we continue to make strides forward or if we're, you know, kind of pushed back to the way things used to be.
Well, you know, I could see the way, you know, the way your mom loves you when I saw you at that event together last week, because you put a human face on it. You know, you're somebody that she loves. It's a human face with stubble on it now, but she obviously loves you just the same. You know, it was interesting. You're so honest in the book, and you talk about, you know, your breakup with Jenny, your girlfriend. You don't say a lot about it, but you're a single guy now.
I am. Yeah, I'm a single guy now.
I mean that had. Go ahead. I mean that had to have been tough, and I know it's private, but how?
It's hard. It was so hard to write about because again, it's one of, you know, I don't really mind revealing a lot about my life, but then you're dealing with somebody else's, and so you have to kind of be, you know, delicate about it. And
I feel the same way. Yeah.
But for me, it was the right decision, and it was the decision that I needed to make at that time, and it became, you know, very clear that I think we just kind of, you know, wanted different things out of life. And, you know, I think Jenny had become more and more uncomfortable with the public aspect of my life. And that's a hard thing for people. I mean, it's kind of funny because I think everybody thinks we broke up because I transitioned. And I think, you know, if anything, it was more, there was, of course, a lot of reasons, but, you know, it definitely was more about me becoming successful and in a very public way, and you know, that's can be really hard to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the good news for me is we can go out cruising for girls together. So
yeah. we can, but it's kind of hard because generally, you know, the girls who would like you and the girls who would like me are not.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
perfect.
In the same
state. Perfect. We can be friends. All right. It's Jazz Pomono, Transition, Becoming Who I Was Always Meant to Be, out in paperback. You got to read it. It is terrific. Yeah. Jazz, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you again soon.
Okay.
All right. He's so nice.
Yeah, he is.
I forgive him for cheating on me with Letterman and Howard Stern.
I forgive him for breaking my hand. Remember that?
Oh.
When she was just coming out as a lesbian, she came on the Stephanie Miller show.
Yes.
And she came in
and had a very firm handshake.
Very firm handshake.
Wow. You may have known before he did. 48 minutes after the hour. Right back with our friend John Fugelsang next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is all very strange.
I agree. Something's not right.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Joey Ramone has the same birthday as me.
Huh?
Or he did.
Really?
While
he did.
Alive.
Yeah.
52 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow's Friday.
Yep.
You know what that means?
What?
Fridays with Fugelsang.
Whoa! You don't say.
Right?
You did say. Without
we
using
only
the
get
F-word.
Him in little tidbits this week. Like right now. Hello, John Fugelsang.
And the only
Hi
F
there,
word
I
she
know.
Used was Fugelsang. For sure.
I still got to see if I can find a studio up here in San Francisco to join you guys from. My God.
Yeah,
well, you're
a busy
boy this week. You are filling in for Jennifer Granholm all week, doing a spectacular job.
Oh, yeah. What a great staff she has at that show. My God, I want to poach them all and put them in my carry-on bag to bring back to New York. I mean, really smart people who do a smart, smart show. It's been a real pleasure.
Awesome. Guess what show is not going very well? Bristol Palin's Lifetime reality series bombs.
Oh. Yeah, it bombed. It bombed last night.
Oh.
Shocking.
Gee, and not good reviews either, shockingly, John.
Really? You mean a young woman who's an unwed single mom who gets paid to speak about abstinence didn't do well on TV?
No.
Imagine that.
Somehow too much reality there. Hey, guess who else is coming back to TV? Arsenio Hall, my buddy, my pal.
That's right.
Woof, woof. Say it with me. Woof. To premiere in fall 2013. Love, Arsenio.
Is that one of the things that make you go, hmm?
He is?
I think so.
No, I love Arsenio.
And you know what? Arsenio Hall got that job because he won Celebrity Apprentice, which
makes
Donald Trump the only Republican to create a new job this year.
That's
huge.
Right. That's right.
Huge.
Yes, and that's what. But he used that as proof that he's not racist, that he picked the black guy.
Oh, he can't be racist. Yeah. He couldn't possibly be racist.
No.
I have a black friend. How could I be racist?
Yeah.
Look at my one black friend right here.
John Fugelsang, former VJ, you know, I always save the music stories for you. Axl Rose face plants and forgets his song lyrics on stage.
Mm.
The Guns N' Roses legend. Oh, dear. He fell on his face about 30 seconds into his hit song, Sweet Child of Mine. Oh, dear. And then he sang the wrong verse twice.
Sweet
one fan on YouTube
something.
Commented, he sounds like Herbert the creepy child molester from Family Guy. Oh,
dear. Welcome to the something. Axel. It gets something every day.
Yeah, I think we're beginning to realize that if you had to wait 4 hours for your Guns N' Roses concert to start, you were the lucky ones.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, one more here. Let's see. Kanye West outraged he wasn't featured on the Lakers Kiss Cam. The Lakers game has a jumbotron where they feature the kiss. Zeroes in on celebrity couples, and they're
right.
supposed to kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was there with a Kardashian, one of them. I don't know.
Kim.
He raged at the PR guy. Why didn't you put
Gummo.
Us on the kiss cam? You put Justin Timberlake on, and I'm bigger than him.
It was Gummo Kardashian.
He was leaving. He was heard loudly asking, "Who's in charge of the jumbotron?"
Really?
Oh my God.
Love that story.
Kanye West is such a fascinating example of evolution's tricky little sense of humor.
I mean, how is he
that incredibly talented and that much of a jackass?
As the president says, a jackass.
Yes, as the president says, right as always. Don't you hate when you accidentally text a nude photo of yourself to your dentist? I do.
Excuse me?
I hate when that happens.
Jenny McCarthy accidentally sent her son's dentist a nude picture of herself.
As one does. What? Huh?
So my son woke up and there was a weird thing on my gum. I called the dentist. He was like, take a picture, send it to me. I sent him a nude on accident. The picture was intended for a Chicago Bears linebacker.
Of course it was.
Okay, that's a weird story. Okay.
I want to be a dentist.
I dare you
or
to send Orly Tate's a nude picture of yourself before she's in on Tuesday. John, did you hear?
What?
My guest live in studio on Tuesday, Orly Tate's.
You got her, huh?
Yeah.
Is that a get or what?
Save some for me.
Yes.
So how are you going to approach this video, Steph? Are you going to be civil? Or are you going to have a bit of a nice to her?
I'm going to be nice to her. I'm always nice. I'm excited. She wants a chance to present her evidence, and I couldn't be happier about it. We're going to play birther dating game. We're going to see which birther she'd like to kiss. I'm trying to. Jim and I are trying to find a question whereby the answer would have to end be moose and squirrel. We're just trying to figure out if there's a way to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The very fact that Orly Tate wants to come and argue birtherism on your show proves that she is perpetually unfit for office.
All right, and then I'm required by law out here in Hollywood to do a Brangelina story. Brangelina Kid Shiloh, she's my favorite, Jim. She demands a tooth fairy payola. Shiloh Jolie Pitt was less than pleased. She got an educational game instead of cash for a baby tooth. Shiloh asked her folks if she could get her tooth back from the fairy so she could shop it around and get a better deal. She's a businesswoman.
Yeah, mm,
she's
exactly. Smart.
Wow. I'm so glad I know that now.
Yeah.
Let's go over to Suri Cruz for a response.
Suri, over to you.
Yeah. Who's going to be on your show tonight, John?
Well, tonight I'm not quite sure who they've got booked yet. We've already had two of Stephanie's boyfriends this week, Van Jones and Alan Grayson. We're talking a lot about Fast and Furious, which is great theater, except actual theater creates jobs. And Daryl Issa questioning your ethics is like Michael Lohan questioning your parenting skills. So there's a lot to talk about.
I hope they bring Marcus Bachman into choreograph because so far it's just been a fabulous.
I'm super.
Yeah,
nice
bit of political theater.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
Just remember, I mean, it's treason to sell weapons to bad guys unless it's Iran and you're Reagan. Then it's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There he is.
I have the question for Orly Tate.
Yes.
What would Sarah Palin and Mike Huckabee have for lunch? Moose and squirrel.
Moose and Squirrel! John Fugelsang in tonight for Jennifer Granholm on Current TV. We will see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Thanks, John.